6 months ago, when Mark asked me to do this, you know, even for us adults, 6 months sounds like a long time. But finally it gets here. The closer it got, I noticed two problems. First, I don't really call myself a preacher. I was kind of more air to the lecturer side. And number two, I haven't talked 20 minutes straight in my entire life. Leaving that aside, I'm going to tell you something about myself this morning. Not directly, but if I do this right and I get all my I's and T's dotted, I think you'll understand it. For some of yous, you may not fall here this morning, but hopefully for some of yous, you understand. Next thing, I did not look at the Sunday school lesson. I didn't have any idea what it was this morning. So just bear with me here a little bit. I want to set this stage up here, if I can. Genesis 1:31 says, God looked at everything he had made, and it was very good. Most of you know when he said that. At the end of creation. Does that include us as humans? I know some of these passages I'm sharing come out of the Old Testament this morning, but I kind of like the way God revealed himself. Exodus 19:5 says, "You will be my own possessions, chosen from all nations." God told Moses before he led the children of Israel, he said, "I'm going to lead you to a land of milk and honey. You're going to have vineyards you did not dig or you did not plant. You're going to have wells you did not dig." Jeremiah 31:3 says, "And from far away the Lord appeared to his people and said, I love you people with a love that lasts forever. That is why I continue to show you kindness." I'm going to look at three fellows here this morning. Now you don't have to turn to these. Just listen as I read. The first one we're going to look at is Job. And we'll pick up here, start in verse 1, first three verses here, and it says, A man named Job lived in the land of Uz. He was honest, innocent, and he honored God and stayed away from evil. Job had 7 sons, 3 daughters, owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys, had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Modern day, I don't know, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, whoever you want to call it, possessions. God's blessing, gave him wealth, gave him family, gave him health. We know he was an honest man, innocent man. Probably, if he lived today, we'd call him a fine Christian. I think a lot of us can kind of relate there if we look at the blessings we receive. Next one we're going to look at here is Jonah. Don't know a lot about him other than we know he was a prophet. He was called by God. Pick up in verse 3, read the first, chapter 3, read the first 10 verses. "Lord spake the word to Jonah again and said, Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach what I will tell you to say. So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went up to Nineveh, and it was a very large city. Just to walk across it took a person 3 days. After Jonah entered the city and walked for 1 day, he preached to people saying, After 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God. They announced that they would stop eating for a while. They had put on rough clothes to show their sadness. All the people of the city did this, from the most important to the least important. When the king of Nineveh heard the news, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, covered himself with rough clothes, sat in ashes, so upset he was." I'm going to jump down to verse 10. When God saw what the people did, that they stopped doing evil, he changed his mind and did not do as he warned. He did not punish them. Jonah apparently could preach pretty well. You know, I get the feeling, you know, he got his messages across to these people. You know, God gave him a great revival. He gave him the ability to speak repentance and deliverance to the unsaved. I think we all know people can probably somewhere fit in that category today. Let's back up here to 1 Kings 17. For you guys that know your Bible well, you know who this includes. This concludes the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah. 17:1 says, Elijah the Tishbite was a prophet from the settlers in Gilead. What's a Tishbite? I don't know, other than he's an ordinary person. Probably somebody not very important. You know, we know those people today. You kind of, I don't know. I think you know what I mean. I'm going to jump down here to pick up in chapter 18 and read 36 through 40. We all know what built up this. You know, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to this meeting here. Verse 36 says, at the time of the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah went near the altar. Lord, you are God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He prayed, prove that you are God of Israel, that I am your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so that people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you will change your minds. Then fire from the Lord came down and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in a ditch. When all the people saw this, they fell down on the ground crying, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And then Elijah said, capture the prophets of Baal, don't let them get it run away. People captured all the prophets, and Elijah led them down to the Kishon Valley where he killed them. I'm reading verse 36 here too. And the Lord gave power to Elijah, who tightened his clothes around him. He ran ahead of King Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I don't know about you, but this guy of Elijah probably had nerves of steel to take on his enemies like he did. Was God faithful to him? Did God bless him? I guess I could pack up and go home now. We could go get lunch. Do we all believe that? I don't see any heads shaking yes or no. I think we do. Did God say his creation is good? Ordinary men blessed by God in different ways. God revealed to them he's in control and he's faithful. Back up to Job here. Verse 1, 3 through 19. And one day Job's son's daughters were eating and drinking wine together in the oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were eating grass nearby. When the Sabaeans attacked him and carried him away. They killed his servants with a sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. The messenger was still speaking when another messenger arrived and said, lightning from God fell from the sky. It burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. The second messenger was still speaking when another messenger arrived and said, the Babylonians sent three groups of attackers that swept down, stole your cattle, and killed his servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell. The third messenger was still speaking when another messenger arrived and said, your oldest sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine together at the oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came from the desert, hitting all four corners of the house at once. The house fell on the young people, and they are all dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. 2:7, Satan left the Lord's presence. He put painful sores on Job's body from the top of the head to the soles of his feet. Just not too long ago, Job's life was different. Probably rolling along, feeling God's great, God's faithful, God's blessings are true. Jonah 4 picks up right where I quit reading. But this made Jonah very unhappy, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, when I was still in my own country, this is what you said would happen. That is why I quickly ran away to Tarshish. I know that you are a God who is kind and shows mercy. You don't become angry quickly, and you have great harm. I know you would not choose to harm me. So now I ask you, Lord, please kill me. It is better for me to die than to live. Verse 8 says, as the sun rose high in the sky, God sent a very hot east wind to blow, and the sun became hot on Jonah's head, and he became very weak and wished he were dead. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. He just had a great revival. He just preached the word of God and saved the entire city of Nineveh. Now he's saying, I wish I was dead. Got one more yet. 1 Kings 19:1-4. And King Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how Elijah killed all the prophets with his sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me terribly if by this time tomorrow I don't kill you just as you killed those prophets. When Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life, taking his servant with him. A couple hours ago, Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. God came through big time, and now he's running away, scared. He's begging for God to kill him. What went wrong? We all agree God's faithful. We all agree God's in control. For Job, the challenge came from Satan. For Jonah, the challenge came from the people that he didn't find important. For Elijah, the challenge came from his enemies or somebody who was about to kill him. Where does that leave us when things don't go the way we had planned or we feel how they should go? I speak for myself on this one, but I listed 10 things here that starts to go happen. Number one, discouragement. Number two, depression. Number three, we start to go and feeling, you know, we're not just not worth, we're no longer important. Number four, we lack motivation. We just lack the desire to continue. Number five, the worry and the fear factor starts kicking in here. At the bit we feel God's forgotten us and he's forsaken us. Earlier we said he's in control, didn't we? We said he created us and he created us good. We start feeling a little selfish. We start saying, you know what? I'm going to look out for myself on this one. I'm going to start looking out for myself. And last, we just feel like plain quitting, giving up. What about that relationship? That one that seems to go nowhere. You know, after a bit we just, I'm giving up on it. You know, some of us know we have a business transaction that we think we did everything right and it still doesn't turn out. We get depressed and just quit trying. Or the unsaved person that no longer is important to us and we start shifting the care to ourselves. How did you feel the day after elections? Well, I'll tell you how I felt. I said, I don't understand the people. I don't understand this country. You know what? I just think I'm going to start looking out for myself in this one. Did God forget us? You know, some days we think we did everything right, and it still doesn't turn out. It still goes all wrong. Did God forget us? Did he forget Job? Did he forget Jonah? Did he forget Elijah? Does he no longer care? Did God quit on me? We could preach all morning about the tears in heaven thing, and for the saints, I don't think there is tears in heaven, but there's days I sit here and wonder and see a tear run down Jesus' cheek when I want to give up or when I feel God quit on me. Are we going to quit on God? 1 Peter 5. And after you have suffered for a short time, God gives all grace and will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. You're not feeling important today? Psalms 45:18. The Lord is close to everyone who prays to him. Feeling sorry for ourselves? We lack in motivation? Being a little lazy? Proverbs 12:24 says, hard workers will become leaders, but those who are lazy will become slaves. A little worried, a little scared today? Psalms 55:22 says, give worries to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will never let good people down. Feel a little bit forgotten by God today? 1 John 4:16, and so we know the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. I ask myself this question many days. Am I a quitter? I'm going to ask you guys a question this morning. Are you quitters? We shift our focus from God's faithfulness. We shift our focus off his promises, off his blessings. And we shift the focus to ourselves. We became quitters. Or then we become quitters. I ask the question again. Did Jesus ever quit on us? Job felt God quit on him. Jonah felt God quit on him. Elijah felt God quit on him. I get those days I feel God quit on me. Why? Because I shifted my focus from God, from God's faithfulness, from his blessings, to myself. That's a challenge this morning. It's not being a nation full of quitters. That relationship's not going to go anywhere if we quit on it. That unsaved person's not going to become saved if we quit on them and find we're no longer important. God promised us. Just like he promised the children, I am your God. God created us. He loved us. Let's keep pulling our strength from God's promises, knowing that they are real and he's always faithful. In his time and on his terms. We get lost in that some days, at least I do. Times and terms of God, we don't understand them because his times and his terms are totally different hours. But one thing we can understand is God's promises. He is faithful. He does not quit on us. God restored Job's possessions. We all know that account. You know, he helped Jonah understand his anger. You know, he fed Elijah right after this account I read. Our reward's coming. Jesus never quit on us. Let's not quit on ourselves or God. Let's continue to minister. Let's continue to encourage. Revelation 21, verse 6 says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning of the end. God is in control. God will always be in control. Let's not quit. Let's not quit on Him, because He never quit on us. Let's pray. God, we just thank You again for Your word, for Your promises, because God, we know You're in control. And God, help us as people to understand that. And God, help us to know that, yeah, You bless us, and on the next day, we'll be totally down in the dump and say, You don't care. God, help us understand it. You always care, and You always will be there for us. And God, You're going to restore us all in the end. Help us not to be quitters. Help us just to stick in there. Just keep making attempts in areas of our life that we feel like giving up on. In areas of life we say they're not important. In areas of our life we just maybe no longer care about. God, I just thank You for the challenge in my life, for the times that You revealed to me that You don't quit on me, that I shouldn't quit on You. And God, I just pray for the congregation this morning too, that, you know, for some that maybe that's not an issue, but maybe for some it is. We just, God, You pray Your strength there to them and for them. Just bless us, God, as we leave for today. We just pray again, God, for Your blessings and Your love, and to know that You are God and You are in control. In Your name we pray, amen.